The ability to create real-world interaction, enriched by the sort of matchmaking that we experience online in social media platforms, e-commerce websites, or digital communities, is one of the most, well, at least to me it is, one of the most interesting trends in exhibitions today. It may be jarring to admit, but we're increasingly comfortable living in a world where we can explore online profiles, post histories, affiliations, and a great deal more before we actually meet the people behind them. It's been probably 10 years since I stopped being surprised by someone I'd never met at a pub asking me if I'd recommend the place I went for dinner or the school my daughter attends, purely because a mutual friend of ours posted some pictures online or some other such information. It's not at all uncommon, and much more so if you're a millennial. In day-to-day life, this level of information about the people we meet is merely an albeit super creepy icebreaker. But in the world of exhibitions, well, it's the secret to expediting a business relationship. Technology is a great way to ensure that we can connect the right buyers with the right sellers at our events, or the right audiences with the right educational content. But how do we match people at events with the efficiency that we can in an online environment? To find out more about this, I attended this year's Event Tech Live exhibition in London and asked a few of those in the know about their approach to breaching the divide, converting ones and zeros into real-world heroes, if you will. How do you take profiled, categorised users and show them what real-world community events can do for them? Here's Makita Fastovets from Expo Platform in the UK. Could you explain a little bit about how you go about creating a match between two different people at an exhibition in the similar way, or using a similar methodology as you would perhaps in an online virtual community?
So, I'll try.
it's quite a nebulous question, but you know, we're trying to get to the idea that when people move from online, where everyone's profiled and categorized, you want to kind of enable people to see that. Not, like you said to me earlier, you know, we can see the badge, but we don't know the previous posts or the history of that person. How do you go about doing that using your technology, but in general, the technology that you're seeing emerging on the show floor?
So, I guess, disclaimer from my side is that I don't think that the matchmaking problem is solved. I think we're all, you know, there are different companies out there who have taken, many of them, similar approaches to matchmaking, but, you know, and they've been applied to different types of shows, they've even been applied to purely online events, and it's, I would say that we're still kind of struggling to say, okay, we've solved this problem, let's move on to the next problem. So, with that disclaimer, what do I think about matchmaking? I think that it really depends on what we're talking about in the community. What is the purpose of the community, right? If we bring it back to events, and if we say that an event is an, let's say, annual meeting of a community that exists outside of that event, you know, whether the event organizer acknowledges the entirety of the community or not is a different matter, but that community does exist, right? And so it's an annual meeting. How do you get people, how do you get the right people to meet other right people? So, well, that's one type of event, right? There's another completely different type of event where it's much more commercial and much more business driven, where you might, it might not be sort of two people who, how do they meet each other, but it might be about, okay, I've got these problems in my organization, I've got these challenges I need to solve. Well, I want to go to an education session that's going to talk about that. How do other people address that?
So that's a deeper degree of knowledge of a person, or not a profile, but an individual, than perhaps they might fill out in the standard radio tick box, I am interested in the following.
Same thing. I mean, this gets distilled down. So when you're, this information about what event they attended, for example, what session did they listen to, ultimately you can distill that down into some number of interests or subject areas. You know, we do that all the time. We categorize an event. An event has, let's call them tags or whatever, subject tags, subject matters. You know, you can summarize a session by three or four words probably. Yeah. Well, those three or four words can serve to drive what one would call matchmaking, right? And you can use those subject matters to say, okay, well, this person visited this event, therefore they're interested in these subjects, therefore let's find something that, you know, something else. Not necessarily a person. A person is a good match, but why are we only talking about a person? You know, if you look at Amazon, for example, there's no person there. It's solving real problems. I need a vacuum cleaner. I need a space cleaned. So, and if we go to exhibitions, right, and I was talking about the second model is that I need to solve a problem. I've gone to a session, but actually now maybe that session told me that these are the solutions on the market that are there. Well, where can I find that solution? Well, I'm already looking for a specific thing now. I'm not The person is at the end of that chain suddenly. Okay, so we've kind of flipped the whole thing.
So it knows that by keywords you attach to an event or a person. That's interesting.
Categories, product categories we call them, or keywords or whatever, yeah.
And it's believable because I remember somebody saying Facebook knows you better than your family. There's a number. Have you ever seen this analogy? Yeah. The degrees. Yeah, yeah. I think if you have done 10 posts or 10 searches, then they know you better than your...
Up
to 70, then they know you better than your wife or something like this. Yeah. But yeah, I understand. You can take that information and really create meaningful dialogue on not a great deal of information. Yeah. One question. When people sign up to Expo Platforms Technology, they don't have to keep re-registering every time. That's the whole point. You keep an active file. Are you able to use historic data on their attendance at a certain event if you do year two, year three at an event in order to direct them, not based on registration technology, registration data?
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting question. It's actually exactly what we've been working on over the past year. And what we've done is we've changed our...
I genuinely didn't know that, by the way. How lucky is that? I wasn't just teeing up a friend there.
But anyway, what we've done is we've changed our perspective on matchmaking in general. We've said that, okay, actually, it's not about matchmaking at an event. It's actually about matching you as a person in a role, maybe, or something like that. And your needs may evolve, but we want to capture that throughout the different events that you go to. So if you go to, let's say you go to Event Tech Live and you say, I'm interested in mobile apps. Well, next year you go to Event Tech Live you can fill in the same registration form and say that you're interested in mobile apps or not. The system will still remember that you were interested in mobile apps last year, give it a little bit of a discount that it didn't hear you reinforce that this year. Take whatever you put in the new registration form, add that to kind of the profile of you, your digital profile, and then it will try to recommend you things that it thinks are relevant. And as you react negatively or positively, it will either reinforce or change the system's belief, basically.
Can you reverse engineer that process and say to the organizer, and say, well, look, if you were to make more of this material available, this content, or this sort of, I don't know, a particular kind of beacon or a grouping of exhibitors, then you're likely to get a greater level of engagement. Can you do that?
Well, yes, you can. We haven't done that yet ourselves. That's kind of next in the pipeline. I think the first and most basic problem everyone is facing in this industry at the moment is that, as I said before, matchmaking hasn't really been solved. So, and what I mean by that is that you ideally, when you turn up, you want to have sort of 90% accurate results, right? Not sort of 10% accurate and 90% you're flipping away and saying, no, it's not relevant, not relevant, you know? Yeah. So nobody's gotten there yet. You know, so that's problem number one. But once you get to the level where you can, because that lets you build an accurate picture. At the moment, you haven't got an accurate picture. The way you validate that you've got an accurate understanding of someone's needs is by putting some examples or some results for them and them positively reacting to those results consistently. If they're reacting to those results negatively or inconsistently, kind of in a positive manner, that means you haven't got it, right? So until you get it, there's no point about taking it further. But once you do get it, then it's actually quite simple to then say, okay, here's a show that has these product categories. Here are the people who are going to attend the show, pre-registered, whatever. Here's an exhibitor, here's a potential exhibitor I'm trying to sell him to. He's got this much buying potential coming to this show, interested directly in his products. They will be, you know, he'll be matched to them. They will react positively to him and so on. So this is the potential of this exhibitor. Therefore, this exhibitor is a great match. Or it'll say, you know, okay, you want to bring this exhibitor? He's going to do really well in this area, but he's got these products, and then you don't have enough buyers for those products there. Something like that.
So it's definitely possible. And on the supplier side of that, are you able to, I mean, in absolute terms, you can say, well, there is a connect, you know, there is a crossover, some intersect between what you do to supply and what they buy. Are you able to do that to a greater degree of granularity? Where are you able to actually say, well, look, they're likely to have 10% of their budget dedicated to your services or your product, as opposed to 90%? Because then you could have some sort of preference over who you meet with or how you present your product.
So I think the answer to that is actually in registration, unfortunately. I'd love to say that there is a magic model where it will tell you that.
Oh, and we're talking exhibitor side here, yes? We're talking,
So, well, you mean exhibitor side as in saying which buyers are going to bring, how much budget do those buyers have to spend
who
the
has
product
the,
that I have?
Yeah, correct. Who's got the greatest value to the exhibitor?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the best you can do at the moment, I think, is to ask them, you know, is your department specialized? What kind of areas do you specialize in? And you can make a guess about rough spend. So I can give you an example, right? If if we're talking to an agency that's organizing a conference, right, that agency is managing the entire budget of the conference from sort of catering to everything else. You can roughly guess by having a correctly guessing the number of items they need to on their budget that they need to spend on, you know, what's roughly the budget that they could have for event technology. And of that budget, you could take a percentage and say, you know, a fifth of that is on registration, let's say, right? So you can make a guess. But getting it to, you know, if you look at a show like Eventec Live, free marketing.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you look, if you look at a show like Eventec Live, which is specialized, actually, just asking the question, and I'm very much for specialized shows for benefit of buyers and exhibitors. But if you end up asking a question, what is the budget that your department controls? That's question one. And question two, what is your role in purchasing? Are you the decision maker? Are you sort of advisory role? You know, one of the buy-in roles or whatever? You can add a weight to that, and you can take the monetary value of that, and actually that ends up being a really good estimate of potential value of the buyer. I would say that that's, in a specialized show, again, you know, because you cannot ask them for every single category, nobody's going to tell you that information. And the challenge is, you will not find that out after the show, because the exhibitors are not going to share their deals signed with the organizer afterwards. So you don't have a trail back to say, okay, that deal was signed, therefore this was right, therefore let's add it up. So it's all a bit of a guessing game.
Yeah, which is pretty much our industry in terms of return on investment. But you can increase the likelihood.
Yeah, I think our job as providers of matchmaking solutions is actually to reduce the random.
Yeah.
You know, increase the serendipity to turn it more into a kind of scientific log than rather than just saying, okay, this person out of 1,000 happened to wander by. Well, what should happen is that person should be aware of you and they should wander by with intent. You know, you have a much better chance of a deal with that in mind.
Reduce the random. That's Expo Platform's pitch next year. That's a wonderful term. I quite like it. Very, very pithy. Well, thank you very much, Mikita, and good luck at the show.
Thank you.
The sage advice of Mikita Fastovets there, reduce the random. Well, that's a lot easier to do if exhibitors can access useful information on the people attending their events, or, you know, data collected both prior to and during the event. If they're doing their job right, then every exhibitor should leave an event with a new repository of data, a new data silo, the leads that enable them to grow their business. But in our world of information overflow, lost leads, and let's be fair, a lax approach to follow-up, this isn't always the case. It's not assisted by the fact that exhibitors are still having to use technology from the 90s. We're still using scanners to scan badges, different proprietary show apps, business cards and other paper-based records. These things are static. They sit in our drawer underneath our desks, or they sit in a folder on our computer somewhere that may not ever get opened again. What if instead we could give them a solution that ensures the exhibitors would know more about their visitors? Capturing leads in a manner reminiscent of online interactions, where you can see the visitor's history or the buyer's history, useful information about them that may help them or may help you to help them find the solution they're looking for, or proactively just to pitch them accordingly. If you simply scan a badge and you've got no idea if the conversation was any good, there's no context. Spreadsheets don't give you any context. But knowing the context precedes confidence when it comes to reconnecting. Here's a few words from Chris Wixon from Accru. So could you tell us a little bit about Accru? It's an event lead management platform, but can you put it in the most digestible terms you can, if that's all right? Because not everyone listening will have been at Eventec Live.
Yeah, sure. So to put it simply, we provide a solution for the end user exhibitor who exhibits at lots of different shows of all shapes and sizes. And rather than what they currently do, which is rent scanners, use a different app at every event, use business cards, get paper, we provide them with a universal solution that they can take to every show. It's completely customized to them and integrated back into their marketing and CRM systems. So really streamline that flow of leads from a show back into their systems, ready for follow-up and action after the event.
And because you have one, well, this enables you to produce a much more sort of rich, we talked about it earlier, you can go into some length about it, but we talked about how this enables people to have a sort of a richer understanding of the requirements of the people who attend a show. How is that the case with Accru?
So I think the reality is today, a lot of context of the conversations that take place at the booth or the stands get lost with the methods that are mainly used. So with using a crew.
And by those methods, so we're talking about literally 1990s registration handsets, and it's a quantifiable on just a few different metrics or whatever. You're looking about carrying rich data through to the end user.
Yeah, so yeah, we're talking about if somebody is simply scanning a badge, you don't know if they spent half an hour on the stand and had a really great conversation and are qualified and need to be followed up tomorrow, or they just popped by the stands and picked up a free pen, and you scan their badge. Somebody a few days after the show or weeks after the show stares at a spreadsheet that has lost all that context of what took place. So with a crew, we put the power back with the exhibitor. They have much more control over the way they capture the data, the information they're able to capture from a qualification perspective, and then crucially, because we can integrate all that lead data straight back into their marketing automation and CRM, those two scenarios I just gave you, the person who spent 30 minutes at the stand and is qualified, that gets fast-tracked straight to Salesforce, assigned to a sales rep who's ringing them tomorrow. The person who just picks up the free pen, that's fine. They can just go to Marketo and be nurtured. So it's a much more intelligent, modern approach to lead capture at events.
And that's really important, because that making that distinction between the two also enables you to move between silos in a company. Some organizations here might have hundreds of people. So is this something that you're telling the exhibitors they need, or is this something that you think fundamentally the exhibitors are calling out for in your experience of speaking to some of these big blue chip companies you work with?
It is being driven by need from exhibitors. I think exhibitors are getting to a stage where they have to be able to show ROI on events. This is not a new thing, but it's never been more important. You've got to be able to demonstrate the return on the investment of exhibiting. And I think the tools that are predominantly used, some of them are great, but they're all still in silos, and the output is still a spreadsheet. So exhibitors need a much more modern, streamlined approach to this that means they can actually track bottom of funnel results and revenue results with top of funnel event spends. And we enable them to do that.
It's worth noting, of course, that the majority of companies exhibit at very few events, typically just one. But for those that do, those serial offenders who attend more than one event, there's a lot to be gained from technology such as a cruise. So, before I left EventTake Live, I wanted to find a company that was already taking the online offline, bringing the mechanics and benefits of online community management into the real world. Of course, I didn't expect to find the organizer of LinkedIn Con or Facebook Con or anything of that scale, but simply someone benefiting from giving online communities a chance to interact physically. SEM Rush turned out to be just that company. It's a digital marketing platform that aims to boost the online visibility of its clients. And recently, it felt the need to move from exhibiting at third-party events and having an online interface with its clients to creating small events of its own, user groups of between 50 and 200 people, not exhibitions, I should be clear on that, in order to personalize the relationships that they've developed online. What they're doing is what exhibition organizers should be doing with the big tech companies in the sectors in which they operate. Give them a chance to enjoy a richer offline experience with the customers that previously they only interacted with online. And in doing so, you'll add value and increase the likelihood of getting the right buyers to your events. And as Alexandra Panyakina, the head of event marketing at SEM Rush, explains, the way in which you personalize an experience online is far departed from the human touch that an organizer needs to have with their own event.
Can you tell us a little bit about what SEM Rush does to start us off?
Absolutely. SEMrush is a digital marketing platform, and we provide all kind of instruments for marketers worldwide to save their time and boost creativity and do such tasks as competitive research, on-page and off-page optimization, content marketing, social media, anything that you might need to boost your online visibility.
Great. So you're in good company. There's a lot of people looking for precisely that service. And in fact, you've been addressing them. You spoke today about a topic largely to do with that search engine optimization stuff. What are you talking about tomorrow?
Well, today, yes, I touched upon the basic SEO and content marketing knowledge for event planners. And tomorrow I will be talking about building global event brands and about what steps we at SEM Rush took to achieve the results we are achieving today.
Wow, okay. So one thing we we know quite a bit about SEM Rush from your introduction, but you are one thing, the reason I got in touch with you actually, the first reason, was that you are starting to move towards building your own live events. So you do a lot more client-side work. Could you tell us a little bit about how you're making that shift from the online space into actually accommodating real world events?
Absolutely. So when I joined Asimrush 3.5 years ago, we were doing really few own events. However, over the years, once we saw how our brand recognition has grown and our customer base has increased, we felt the need to connect in person with our customers and with people that already know us. And it made much more sense to make a shift from just exhibiting at the third-party events to actually doing our own events, where we can customize the user experience, where we can connect in person and talk not only about work, but actually about everything else, what matters to us and especially to our users. And in terms of connection that with our online activities, we're known all over the place. We have databases for more than 100 countries. So we started expanding globally as well with our activities. Currently, we do events in more than 20 countries, and we try to bring similar offline experience to our users all across the world, so that just like when they log in into our platform online, once they enter the events, they have the same seamless experience all over the place.
When you talk about 20 countries, where's your particular stronghold? Is it European predominantly, or are you in Asia, active in Asia, or the Middle East?
I would say United States, United Kingdom, European countries, Australia, and we're really growing rapidly in other countries as well, but these ones would be our primary countries.
Is it a significant sort of learning curve taking the event, which is based on binary, on ones and zeros, and introducing that personal element through the live approach? I mean, is it a different skill set? Do you have to shift your mind into a new way of thinking when you're talking about the personal touch?
Well, there is definitely a difference between the online approach and offline. Personalization is a trend everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. However, the way you personalize that online is completely different from the offline.
That's something I wanted to, because that's the point that's interesting. Personalization means categorization or profiling, whatever. But what you mentioned on, what you touched on earlier, was that human touch, which I find very interesting. So there is a big distinction between the two, yes?
Yeah, well, when we talk about personalization online, that's exactly doing the categories, setting up lookalike audiences, and serving them the right content at the right time. However, at the events, it's not only about serving the right content to the right people and kind of tailoring the events to the audience profile that you want to attend it, but it's also about real human touch and about personalization of the experience in terms of this connection, and that people feel really welcomed and that they leave with the feeling that they met friends, they made new connections, and they felt like a part of the Asimrush family.
And that's something that we also talked about. It's one of the reasons I was keen to meet you. You also mentioned that your meet hubs are, am I right in saying they're limited to 150 people? And what's the thinking behind that?
Well, I would say we do different events and on different scale. However, the majority I would describe as this boutique style. And our roadshow series tend to be up to 60 to 70 people. And our user conference was on purpose limited to 150 attendees, plus around 50 people from Asimrush team. We really wanted to create this atmosphere of connection where by the end of the third day of the event, you actually feel like you've met almost everybody there. You recognize the faces once you connect with them offline. You have this in-person background, in-person connection, so that it's not just one more connection on LinkedIn, but it's actual your new colleague or friend that you can talk to and ask any question. So that was one of the reasons that we limited. Also, there are tons of events where you get thousands of people flooding into the convention hall. Why to repeat that? Let's create something new, unique, and unconventional that people will remember.
It's very refreshing, especially in a world where we count the number of people coming through the turnstiles. I recently read a book by a guy called Matthew Ridley called The Origins of Virtue, and he talked about the idea that tribes schism after, say, 120 people. They just form new tribes because people can't keep up with that many conversations, and a market is a conversation. So very interesting to see you go that way.
So there we have it, A little insight into the thinking of three very sparky individuals from three companies actively challenging the status quo, shaking the tree in the hope that we as an industry will make the transition into a new world of event interaction using digital communities and techniques tested online. I'd like to thank Mikita, Chris and Alex for taking part in this and giving us some of their clearly very valuable time, as well as Event Tech Live head honcho Adam Parry for helping line them up in the first place. Long may this event go on. And if you're at a party this festive season, and some complete stranger tells you that they preferred your hair when it was down to the shoulders of your luminous green global hypercolor t-shirt, which means that they've looked at online photos of you when you were 15 and thought Axl Rose was the shit, don't be afraid to interrupt them. Look them in the eye and say, I know literally nothing about you. Because as Oscar Wilde put it, there is only one thing in life worse than being talked about, and that is not being talked about. Toodles.